Blog Talk Radio.
Think. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We got a special guest from my hometown, Mr. Luster Larkhart. He is the CEO and developer of BL Block Development Group, a real estate development firm. He's going to share things with you tonight about the various commercial and residential developments and how the national market affects them. Luster, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going?
So far, it's going pretty good. I was glad to be able to meet you and listen to all the different ways how you specialize in things and just your overall sense of the national market. It was very impressive. I'm very glad that you actually, you know, took time out of your day to come on our show.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I mean, when you mentioned that, you know, what you've done as far as Think Big Radio, I was just ecstatic to come on and talk about the overall real estate market on a national scale and all the way back down to the local scales as well. So, yeah, I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio.
Now, before we get started, I'd like for everybody to know how they can reach you. I mean, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you to learn a little bit more, what would they do?
Well, the best way to reach me is through my email account, and that is info@blblock.com. I will spell that out for you, info@blblock.com. Most of the time when you email me, I usually respond within maybe an hour, and then, you know, we can definitely talk from that, point on.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? I mean, where you're from, you know, your first grammar school, whatever it is you want to share, so, you know, so people get a feel of who Mr. Lockhart is.
Okay, well, I'm from Chicago, the south side of Chicago. I went to Mount Carmel High School. I transferred to Julian. Then I went to University of Iowa for undergraduate and graduate school. I came home, and my mother and I, we connected, hooked up, and we started our real estate development company. I majored in anthropology and biology while I was at University of Iowa. And so I just came home, worked with my mom, and we just started the real estate development company, and that's where we are right now.
So, you know, it's kind of funny to hear that you said that what you majored in, and it's like with your real estate company, you're doing a lot of developing.
Right.
So do you get a chance to look at or analyze, or you think about those things when you're breaking ground?
Yeah, you know what was really ironic with how I actually came into the real estate market. My parents, when I was growing up, they were restaurant developers. And so what they would do, they would take, you know, abandoned buildings, two flats, and they would put a restaurant downstairs and renovate the top and have rental housing. And so I saw them do that a couple of times. And so, you know, I wasn't really looking to be a part of it. I was just around it. And so when I went off to school across small college town, I just noticed that there was, you know, lots of residential and commercial development, and there were lots of business opportunities. And so my entrepreneurship instinct kind of kicked in. I was always thinking about ways to start businesses and thinking about different buildings to build. And so while I was at school, I noticed that they were building this large, maybe about 40-unit townhome development right behind where I lived. And I was just so intrigued with it because I saw it go from this forest all the way to these beautiful, you know, 2,400-square-foot townhomes. And so I just was interested. You know, I didn't think I wanted to do that, but I was just very interested in it. Meanwhile, my mother was at home, and she was eyeing some property, some vacant land, and she was saying to herself, wow, you know, it'd be nice to develop this property in Chicago, just put some homes on it. And so we were kind of thinking the same thing. And once we got together over Christmas break, we were just driving down the street, and we just said, wow, let's do this. And I was like, are you thinking the same thing? She told me, yeah. So we actually started this real estate development company from doing that. And so to get back to your question, you asked, do I ever think about relating to what I study? I actually do. I think about how we went from hunter-gatherers of societies to these very complex societies with these, you know, buildings, and you can go to Egypt, people talk about pyramids, you know, so all of this is society development and real estate development. And so I kind of always think about why I'm contributing to culture when I develop real estate. And also, part of my major was sociocultural anthropology. And so every time I look at a project, I not only look at what the type of building I could build, I look at how it's going to affect the people, how the people can benefit from it. And so, you know, I pretty much look at it in a holistic way, not just like, wow, this would be a nice building here, but how it could affect the lives of people and how people could benefit from it and how people could form and build their families based on what I build to them. And so that's pretty much how I incorporate anthropology and archaeology into real estate development. Sorry for the long answer.
Oh, that's fine, because I'm sure our listeners are learning a lot, and we have so many different big thinkers on here with various backgrounds. It's always, you know, we love to learn. That's what we do here. And
right.
Just thinking about the different things that you're telling me, and I'm thinking how, you know, in certain areas you may even be able to, you know, be on the planning division for, you know, a specific city with the degrees you have, and especially with what you're doing now.
Right, right. And that's one thing that you always have to look at is, you know, whether it's a commercial project or a residential or even institutional, you have to look at the whole picture, not only of what you want to build, but you have to see how it fits into the particular area that you're building within, and also how it's going to affect the people around it. Because pretty much, you know, whatever structure you build, whether it's a gas station or a residential unit or even a library, it's going to affect the people in the area somehow. And you want to make sure that they could benefit from the project just as much as you could benefit from it. And so you have to pretty much look at the entire picture.
Now, when you came home and you was riding around with your mom and you guys looked at a couple of things and you decided to start this, were there any challenges, you know, for you when you decided to go fill out your corporate paperwork? And, you know, what type of challenges did you face or things that may have come up that you didn't plan on at first?
Okay, well, you know, look at it. The key thing is that there's always going to be challenges. And so basically, yeah, there were lots of challenges. The first thing was the first challenge that we had was we saw a plot of vacant land. We had to see who owned this property. A lot of people have their properties in these things called trusts. And so you have to pretty much contact the trust, the people who the property is in, land trust, and figure out who's the owner. So that was one of the first largest obstacles. The next obstacle was actually talking to the government officials, getting their approval. And when I say the government officials, I mean also the aldermen, the city officials, the representatives, and even down in the city hall department. So you have to pretty much that's a large obstacle. But what I found was that the more you're prepared, the easier it is to talk to people. So the more homework that you can do outside before you talk to people, before is better, and it can enhance your presentation. People think you're very serious if you have something to present to them. You know, everyone has an idea, but if the idea has to be written down and you have to articulate the idea in a very concise way where they feel they could benefit from it, and then that's when your doors will become open. So yeah, it's, I mean, the banking was a large obstacle, trying to find financing. And again, the large thing was getting acceptance from the alderman and also the city officials to let me do this project.
Now, that's big thinking. That is definitely big thinking. One of the things that you shared, that those who are trying to get into this business and those who are already in the business know that you have to, everybody has an idea, but you have to be able, just like you say, not only to articulate it, but to be able to present it in a way that they see how it can benefit them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And see that's the main thing in business. And I think that's one of the things that I learned from my parents in their restaurant business, is that being able to grasp an idea, think about it, and create ways that you could present to someone where they could feel like it helps them out and they could benefit from it. Because if you go into someone and you asking them for something, they need to feel how they could benefit from it, whether it's just beautifying the community or it's some type of financial contribution that they could get from the project. They have to feel like, wow, I could benefit from this, or my community could benefit from it. And if you don't have that, more than likely, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder for you to get where you need to go.
One of the things that you also brought up was to be able to talk with the city officials. For those of you out there who don't know, Chicago has one of the hardest building codes in the United States because of the Chicago fire. So
Right. They
are very privy to who they're let build things.
Yes. Yes.
And to be able to make it here, I believe that you can really expand and anywhere when it comes to those types of things. So when you set out to talk to the alderman and the, what was your initial, first visit like?
You know what? The very first visit, I went and talked to the alderman. She was actually speaking at a community forum. We have a very, very good alderman. Her name is Alderman Carrie Austin. It is the 34th ward. And she does a lot for the community. She wants to see the community just grow and prosper. She's a very good alderman. So when I initially met her, there was another developer who was actually head the property, who was head first dibs on the property. So I actually talked to her, and I presented an idea to her. And she pretty much said, well, someone else is interested in that property. You're kind of late. And so I said, okay, that's fine. And so I actually went to look for some other property as well. And while doing that, I actually had to go down to the City of Chicago Department of Planning and Development. And the other parcel of property that I was looking at, the project manager dealt with that property as well. So I brought these plans in to the property, to the city official who was over that area. And it was just extensive research and everything, these house renderings. I presented it to him, and, he was very impressed with what I presented. He's like, no one has come down here and presented a packet like this. This is far more than anything anyone has done. So that opened up the opportunity, because he got on the phone to see where the developer was that was initially interested with the property. And the next thing he called me up and said, wow, you could develop this land over here because you already put that into, you started the process of trying to get the property developed. So the main thing was, when I talked to the alderman and the city officials, is that I came prepared. People always come to city officials with ideas. They get tons of ideas every day to build this and do this. But the key that's going to set you apart is you have to come prepared with something that they can see, something tangible, something in your hand. You may have to spend a little money to create a brochure or just get some drawings or whatever it is business you're trying to present to a city official. You have to have something in your hand so they can see, wow, okay, this person is serious. And that right there will set you apart. That will put you into the top 10% of people who are trying to get something done in their areas. So she was very receptive, but the reason why she was receptive, because I had something to present to her.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Luster, before we go any further, I'd like for you to get your information out again, because people really need to not only learn from you, but at the same time assist you in the business that you are already doing. Can you please give that information out once again?
Yes, the website is under construction, but it's www.unionpointhomes. And then my email address is info@blblock.com. That's info@blblock.com.
Okay. Now, can you spell that website out?
Yes, Union Point Homes. That's www.unionpointhomes.com. And incidentally, that's the name of the development that I'm doing, is Union Point Homes Development.
Okay, Union Point Homes. One of the things that I like to share with our audience that you mentioned was about being prepared, you know, and it's a pleasure to have you on here because you're touching on so many different things that people who are just starting out in business fail to realize, because as busy people that have, you know, hours and hours of things to get done in actual minutes, you know, we like to see things that's like, is right there, it's to the point, you know, and it makes sense.
Right.
Because we have people that come to us every single day with an idea. You know, big thinkers, they're all out there. But
yeah,
true big thinkers, they're going to take action and follow some of the simple steps that you're sharing with
right.
our listeners right now.
Right, definitely. Yeah, that's the main thing, is preparation would definitely, like you say, it's there's lots of thoughts and there's lots of ideas, but preparation is pretty much what's going to set you apart from 90% of everyone else with that idea.
Now, what, besides preparation being one of the key points that you can help our listeners, or you've shared with our listeners, what would be some more advice that you would give somebody, whether they were starting, you know, a real estate business or a candy shop?
Okay. Yeah, that, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. The key thing is write a business plan. A business plan is definitely your foot in the door for financing, for all types of opportunities. You have to have a concise business plan that's going to articulate and illustrate all of your ideas that's in your head. You definitely have to have a business plan. Not only that, not only will it open the doors for you, but it also would put your thoughts onto paper where you can actually see them clearer than what you have in your head, because it's going to force you to think of financial projections, your funding, your clientele, the market that you're trying to reach. Is going to make you think of all of the things that's going to make your business successful. And, you know, just think about it. A lot of businesses fail within, you know, the first, you know, couple of years. And so the more planning that you have from the get-go is pretty much going to get you in the right direction. And the main thing I would tell anyone is definitely once you get an idea, jot that idea down, and start with the business plan. There are lots of business plan books out there, and so just find one that's very friendly to you. One book that I have that I thought was very good is My First Business Plan. This isn't My First Business Plan or Your First Business Plan. It's about maybe 100 pages, and it touched on every single thing that I needed to think about as far as my business is concerned. And what's good about it is that, like you say, it's not only for a real estate business, but, you know, a candy shop, a hair salon, a manufacturing company, an engineering firm, an architectural firm. I mean, anything, a generic business plan book will get you from point A, from step A all the way to step Z. And when I say step Z, I mean to run a successful business for years where you can pass it on to your children. So the key thing is get a business plan and write down your ideas as they come, because you never know when you're driving down the street. You might think of something that could affect your business when you sleep or when you wake up. It's different thing. Different ideas come to you at different times, and it's very key to be able to write those ideas down, because we all get into the habit of saying, okay, yeah, that's a good idea, I'm going to think about it later, and then, you know, later comes and you forget about the idea. And next thing you know, someone else has an idea and running with it. So, but the best thing is to definitely get a business plan book and jot down your ideas as they come in your head.
Now, I'm thinking about everything that you're sharing with us, and I'm thinking about how many people fail to do these things and what they need to do to actually, you know, not only make it up to that 10%, but actually stay in that 10%.
Right.
With the business plan done, and you've already networked with the officials, would you say that was one of the biggest things that allowed you to become successful and what you're doing, not only the business plan, but your presentation?
The business plan and the presentation, but those were some of the foundations. But, you know, another thing that I didn't mention, and I think that we all have to mention from the get-go, is believing in your idea.
Wow. That
is the main thing, you know, because, you know, you can have a good idea, but if you have some type of doubt in your mind, your doubt will show through your presentation and through your business plan and through when you talk to someone. You have to be very confident about your idea and feel that it could work. You have to be very confident, and definitely the way you keep that confidence is to do research on your idea and to, you know, pretty much research the market, research your competition, and be honest and truthful about researching your competition, because sometimes we say, wow, this is an idea, I know it's going to work, but then we don't necessarily look and see who is our competition and how we could beat out our competition. So that is the main thing, too, is to believe in your idea with the research and the business plan and networking. And also, too, your business plan always changes. So even in the beginning, when you write your business plan and you are open, you are in the door and you have an operating business, that business plan changed from the next month. So, you know, it's something that you could just start and then don't have to go back to and just put in the file. You have to always change different aspects of your business plan to make sure that they're adapting with the time and with where you are as a business, because what the obstacles that you face in the beginning, they may not necessarily be the obstacles that you're going to have 2 months down the line or even 2 years down the line. You may have went from one employee to, or two employees all the way up to 15 employees, or you may went from you needing, you know, $50,000 or $100,000, or you may need, you know, $2 million for some type of working capital. And then you have to do all the financial projections and everything to support whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, it's the business plan, and all continuously working on the business plan is key to staying successful and also communicating with whoever it is that you're working with, as far as either the city officials or if you're renting space with the person that you're renting from, or even with the buyers who support your business. Because one thing that the buyers could tell you is, you know, the buyers are the ones that pretty much generate your business. You know, if we didn't have buyers, we wouldn't be anywhere. So most of the time you have to listen to what they want. You know, that's pretty much your market research, but that's your market. You have to please your market. Some people, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you might have one crazy request, but sometimes you have to listen. If 10% or 15% of your market has a particular request, you may have to adapt to satisfy that 10 to 15%. And depending on your sales, you know, that's a large chunk of income for you, right, and to make your business grow. So, you know, the main thing is to always be willing to adapt to the changing market and always be willing to revisit your business plan so you could definitely stay successful and changing with the changing times.
Now, I know we've covered a lot on our local market, and what are what is your take on the national market and how, well, you know, the big topic right now is, you know, whispers of recession and screams of foreclosure. You know, what's your take on that? How do you think that situation came about, and, you know, what would be a remedy, you know, that you may have thought of or, you know, have heard, you know, talked about that you think would make it better for us as an economy and the people?
Well, you know, the main thing is, and you know, these principles, as far as you know, the recession, that's something that's very, it's very real. It's very real in the economy. But you know, the principles that you that a person should live by in a recession should be the principles that they live by even in surplus. And when I say that is, you always want to spend your money wisely. You know, even if there was no talk of recession, you always want to spend your money very wisely, very efficiently, and save as much as possible. And so that's as far as the recession goes. Now, one thing that I've adapted to on my project is that, you know, real estate as a whole is very regional and local. You know, so what happens is that it could be just disastrous in one part of the country or even one part of the city, and then another part of the city just might be booming with business. And so basically with the area that I'm in, I'm doing mostly single-family homes and two flats, and that market is very, very prosperous right now. My price points are good. We're starting at $248,000, and we're giving $20,000 to $40,000 credits for people in our, you know, first who buy pre-construction, and that's one thing how I'm adapting to the market is that I'm giving incentives to my home buyers. One thing that I'm doing, I hope my competition is not listening, but one thing
your
I'm doing. Your
competition is all around the U.S. when you're on this show.
I know. But, you know, we can always adapt. But one thing that I'm doing, too, with this talk about recession, I'm actually using it as a positive. I have financial planners that I'm actually I'm contracting with to actually work with each and every home buyer to look at their overall financial picture to make different avenues to build wealth. Whereas, you know, most of the time we think of home ownership as, you know, the sole way to build wealth. But what I'm doing is I'm hiring financial planners to look at my home buyer's whole entire financial picture, see their goals, where they want to be in 10, 15, 20 years, and then give them different options as far as stocks, bonds, IRAs, 401ks, mutual funds. Give them those type of options where they could become wealthy or as we say, set for life at the particular time when they want to arrive at that. So that's how I'm beating the market. You know, I could be like everyone else and offer incentives and, you know, plasma TVs and, you know, I even hear some people offering cars and everything. But I'm being more on the educational tip where I could offer something that will actually benefit them in the long run with paid financial planning advice. And, you know, I'm going to pretty much the Charles Schwab's and the, you know, Prudentials and those type of people to, and Ariel Capital Management. I have to mention Ariel. I'm going to those financial planners who could put my home buyers in a position where, you know, not only would they grow wealth through home buying, but they would grow wealth through investments and which, you know, which would be good for them. You know, people have children that want to go to college or eventually maybe people want to start their own business. So you never know where people's minds would be in 10 or 15 years. So I'm just looking at their whole entire financial picture, and I'm using the recession as a way to pretty much incorporate financial planning into home buying.
Wow, that is some very forward and big thinking to be able to educate your clients on things like that, because a lot of people, you know, they don't really think about those things that far in advance. And that's how, you know, when people are taking those quick fixes and, you know, they want to get it now, they don't mind the interest rate and things of that sort, that they get in trouble.
Right.
But here it is, you know, you feel like you should go deeper. You know, because the surface can tell you a lot of different things, but when you go deep inside of a person and you try to get them to look a different way and see different things, that's where they'll find their true benefit.
Exactly.
You know, just thinking about what you've taken in school, which was, you know, basically dealing with the earth, the plane surface, and going underground, and now you're building up. So it's almost as if you know, this was something that you were meant to do on, you know, both of those levels, whether it was, you know, on earth or in man.
Right.
I commend you for what you're doing. And I don't really get a chance to meet all of the guests that come on the show. And I can, you know, specifically tell these people out here that I can vouch for you because you're, I mean, you're the same and you've got that kind of spirit from when I met you. That's why I wanted you on the show.
I appreciate that. That's, and I remember I met you. I saw you. You had your computer. You put up the antenna. You was typing away, and I was like, wow. You know, I was impressed too. Not only with well, you know, the venue that we met was is very. That's just an educational forum just in itself. You know, I don't know if you mentioned, you know, the name of the NACA. I can't think. It was, what's the name of the neighborhood assistance?
Corporation America, yeah.
Yeah, and so just that venue that we met was very a positive venue to get people into, you know, homes and everything, and then, you know, the project that you were working on, getting the young lady, you know, getting the young lady on Oprah, I thought that was very, very commendable. So it's kind of like, you know, we both had admiration for each other, works and everything, but yet the company, that the atmosphere that we met in, you know, it was just a positive atmosphere. And,
right.
You know, the old saying go, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and you're always going to be around positive people, and positive people attract the, you know, positive energy. And I think that's pretty much where we, you know, why we was able to connect that day.
Yeah, well, you're doing some real big things out here, and you know it makes me also think. I know you're doing things here, but do you have plans to expand soon or?
Yeah, actually I do. Actually, what you know, I have this project going on, and actually there's another project in the city, right on the lakefront on 87th. You know, it was a large steel factory there.
Right.
And so I'm actually talking with the actual land developers of that project to actually section off a parcel of real estate to, for me to, you know, build some residential and commercial units. But, you know, I'm also looking to pretty much venture off within the country and do some stuff. One area that I actually been discussing with this gentleman is in Kansas City. There's a large parcel of property around the outskirts of Kansas that I want to pretty much build some apartment buildings and single-family homes and two flats there. Gary is an area that I just think is just totally. I mean, Gary, Indiana has so much potential as far as being a mecca of urban life, and you know, it's just a beautiful. It's where it's positioned at. I mean, you can't believe the potential that Gary, Indiana have.
You know what's funny about you saying that too is that it's also that much harder to believe that no one has invested in Gary, because I look at Gary the exact same way that you're doing, even the little downtown area.
Yeah, Gary is. I mean, I really, Gary is 30 to 40 minutes away from Chicago. It's right on the lake. I mean, it just has so much potential that, you know, Gary could definitely very well be just a thriving metropolis in itself. And so that's one area that I definitely want to go and get started and you know, help out those others who's in Gary and develop that. That's another area. So those are some of the projects that I'm looking to do. And then, you know, there's others, but for right now, those are the three main ones I'll be doing within the next couple of years.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Why don't you let everybody know where you're from, how to get in touch with you, and everything that they need to know to do a lot more about learning.
I'm from Chicago. My name is Luster, and I'm from Chicago. I'm born and raised in the South Side. My email address is info@blblock.com. The website to my development is Union Point Homes. That's UNIONPOINTEHOMES.com. It's under construction now. Our server actually crashed earlier today, but we'll have it up and running soon. And that's how you can get in contact with me. You can email me, and I definitely would get back with you. And I would love to talk, you know, business with anyone. It doesn't only have to be real estate development. Like I said, I've been in the restaurant. My parents were in the restaurant business, and I just love business, and I would just love to talk with anyone to help them develop their business plans and just, you know, just give them encouragement and just throw some ideas off my head to yours and vice versa. So, you know, that's the best way to get in contact with me, and I encourage everyone just to give me a holler on the email at info@blblock.com.
Now, is there anything that you would like to cover that we may have not touched upon? I mean, not dealing with the real estate, not dealing with the restaurant business. Did you, you know, play any sports, or, you know, you have a hobby that you get, you know, take time to get to when you're not busy working?
Yeah, you know, well, I played basketball in high school, and I was a walk-on basketball player at college. And then, you know, after a couple years, you know, I was my sister had a baby, and so you know how some of the females get, once they have a baby, they want to get that weight off. And so her and I were, yeah, you know, they want to get that weight off fast.
Glad you didn't say anything else, because you probably would have really had a bunch of emails from our women listeners. But you're right about getting that weight off.
They do. They want to get the weight. You know, my sister, she gave birth to my niece and my nephew, actually. And she, you know, she had right back-to-back babies. And so she used to call me up and say, you know, Lester, let's go walk around the park. Let's exercise. You know, I just can't stand it no more. And so I'd say, okay, fine. You know, I went over there, and we used to walk around this park. It was Fernwood Park. It was around 102nd and Wallace. So we used to walk around this park. And there was this sign in the park. You know, I went in to get some water. So there was this sign in the park saying, learn to box. You know, I teach boxing. So I thought, well, that's interesting. You know,
Wait a second. You saw a sign said learn to box, and then you said now you, and then right after that you were like, now you teach boxing.
Yeah, yeah. I said no. The sign said learn to box, and I was like, wow, they teach boxing.
Oh, okay.
Up until that point, you know, I didn't really understand that you actually could learn to box. You know, I just like, wow. I was very interested, and so I went into that to the field house, and from that point on, I actually was an amateur boxer for 10 years.
Wow.
So I amateur boxed and everything. And I really enjoyed that part of my life. It was really a good time. So that was one of my hobbies.
Would you say with that, to learn to box, did you get in shape, you think, a lot better than, you know, the normal way you got in shape for maybe playing basketball?
Yeah, you got in shape basketball, but you didn't get in shape as far as holistically in boxing. Basketball, you got in you got in good physical condition as far as running and jumping and everything. But boxing just took it to a different level where, you know, basketball, I knew that in 15, 20, or 30 seconds, if the play could stop or I could rest here or there, you know, at the free throw line or you know, someone's going to get fouled within a minute or two. In boxing, there was, you know, once you start boxing and the referee go ding from the beginning of the bell, you have 3 minutes to continuously, you know, not only move around and try to hit the guy, but you have to protect yourself from getting hit, which in itself is pretty much so, it's such a energy-wasting act that, you know, boxing is very mentally and physically challenging, and seriously, it was one of the most grueling things I've ever done in my life was learning to box 3 minutes in a round for 3 to 4 rounds, and the reason, and another thing is too, it's so grueling that they don't even when you start boxing, you don't even go start with 3 minute rounds. They actually start you with 1 minute rounds because it's that grueling to learn how to pretty much protect yourself and try to, you know, land points on the other person. And so, you know, so it was very, very grueling, but it was enjoyable nonetheless.
Wow.
It was enjoyable. But it was a different type of a workout than basketball. It was very mentally challenging. It was very mentally challenging. But the key to boxing is that is mentally challenging, but you have to stay very relaxed in boxing because, you know, you can't be tense in the ring. You have to be very relaxed. You have to just be so relaxed that as your opponent does something, you have to react to it without even thinking.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I say relax. It's very mentally challenging, but it's a kind of a dichotomy, whereas you have to be relaxed so you can protect yourself, land punches on the person, and then protect yourself, land punch, and then also be able to conserve enough energy to get by two more minutes or three more minutes or, you know, however long you're doing it. And then you have a minute to rest between rounds, which goes by very fast.
Mm.
So yeah, it was a good workout. Actually, you know, just to hit a point is that actually when I started boxing, I actually picked up a little weight with my sister, without even changing my diet. I actually just lost like 40 pounds within 2 months.
Wow, and that's just from the exercise.
That was just from the exercise.
Wow,
just from the exercise. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because we've had a couple of boxers on here, some professionals, and they talked about a lot of different things, but they didn't really get into. I guess they were so used to that type of training,
right.
You know, that just like one of our friends here in Chicago, baby girl, Latidia Robinson. You know,
right.
I need to put a little bit of weight also, so I'm gonna start. Trying to train with her and get this off before I start traveling. So we're getting down to the very last minute, so we need to know who would you like to thank or what?
You know what, man, there's so many people that I got to, you know, of course I got to thank, you know, the Most High Father God for giving me parents to pretty much instill this into me and to give me the understanding to want to go through this. And also, just, you know, one thing that I want to mention to people too, I hope I have enough time, is that, you know,
okay.
Whatever part of your life that you're in, be thankful for that part of your life that you're in. Don't worry about, you know, where you wish you could be or if you made mistakes in the past. Just be thankful for where you are and then learn from where you are and where you went through and the experience that you have done, because those experiences are what shaped you for your future progress. So just be thankful for where you are. Thank the people that's around you, and definitely, you know, if you're religious, thank Father God. If you're not, you know, thank someone. But definitely, you know, you have to give thanks to the other people that are around you. And another thing, I have to definitely give thanks to you, Big, for giving me the opportunity to express myself and to talk about different things about real estate development and business as a whole.
Well, it was definitely our pleasure to have you on. And, you know, just like a lot of our big guests, when you're busy, you know, it's hard to kind of tame you down. And even though we had you booked maybe about 3 weeks in advance, I was still, you know, happy that your schedule hadn't, you know, changed or, you know, a water pipe bust somewhere.
Right. Right.
Well, that's going to be it tonight, folks, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on again, Luster.
I would love to come on to talk about, you know, real estate development or any other business opportunities or just business planning in general with the people, and it was just my honor.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Think big, everyone.
Dear Diary, starting in 2008, I resolved to lose 50 pounds by March and get the body I want. And I also want to... who are you?
I'm your fairy godmother. Do you realize you've made that same resolution for the past 5 years? Why don't you join Dee's life and change your life altogether?
What do you mean, change my life altogether?
With Dee's life program, not only would you lose those 50 pounds, but you will gain an entirely new lifestyle that will definitely get you out of the old and into the new.
Yeah, but how do I know it'll work?
There's only one way to find out. Go to www.dslifenow.com. And join now.
Well, I should get started right now. And besides, I heard her programs are really awesome.
You bet they are. So let's get started so we don't have to have the same conversation in 2009.
Join D's Life Detox Program now. Go to www.dslifenow.com. That's www.dslifenow.com.
Blog Talk Radio.